This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Foster children aging out of Hamilton County's child welfare system cost almost $18 million in social expenses and lost productivity each year. Teens who suddenly find themselves on their own face challenges in transitioning to adults. A local mentoring program is one of several interventions that can have a positive impact on young people while helping to reduce those costs. And joining us to discuss the mentoring program and preparing foster children for success, our Director of Hamilton County Job and Family Services, Moira Ware, and Director of the Higher Education Mentoring Initiative at the University of Cincinnati, Rhema Waters. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Moira and Rhema, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Moira, first off, explain what that term means, aging out. What does that mean to
so
age out?
When we have children in care, foster care, we really, first of all, try to reunite them with their families. But when that's not possible, we try to then prepare them for adoption. And we're not always successful in getting our older youth adopted. Sometimes they don't want to be adopted, or they just, you know, have decided they would like to push forward and try to figure out how to get prepared for adult life. So the sad thing is, if you imagine if you have kids at 18 actually just saying, okay, go out to the world and figure it out yourself, it's a pretty overwhelming thought, as well as if you think most of our kids have come from really difficult situations. So they're really worried. I mean, they're worried about, where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to eat? You know, who's going to take care of me? So the child welfare system, typically at age 18, unless a child is engaged in some kind of, you know, they're finishing up school or doing some kind of activity, they what's called as emancipate. That's a legal term. They're free to go into the future as an adult without our support. So we knew that we wanted to do a better job with our youth, and we thought this is a strategy that we have with the HEMI program to try to engage our youth to prepare them for life after foster care, whether it's through college or a trade.
Now, the nearly $18 million, that came from a study that was done by the UC Center, Economic Center, correct? Okay, and what's included in that $18 million figure? In terms of how much of it is homelessness?
Yes. They talk a lot about, you know, the impact of unplanned pregnancies, homelessness, the underemployment of the youth. Actually, their touches with criminal justice system and the social service system, enrollments, medical expenses. And so all of those things together is how they tracked and looked and did a comparison and tried to come up with a total number of what it actually cost.
But it's almost $18 million a year. That's what's amazing.
Yes. I mean, one of the reasons why we actually wanted to start the HEMI program is when we look at what the national statistics are, our youth were similar to that. You know, 50% of them, you know, a third are going to, we find out, ending up being incarcerated. A third of them have a lot of issues, whether it's mental health, some of them they're not getting treatment for. And a third are just really hard, are making it, but it's a struggle day to day, and they may go end up being homeless or something like that. So we really wanted to try to give them some supports for adulthood. But obviously, when we aren't able to provide that, then these youth, young adults become very expensive because they might end up in the criminal justice system. They could end up in homeless shelters. They could end up needing, you know, treatment, inpatient treatment for drug or alcohol. So we're trying to make sure we can wrap supports around those kids and youth and really give them the opportunity that every child in our community should have, is to grow up, to be happy, to be healthy, to be productive, and have opportunities ahead of them and choices.
How many kids are in the foster care system in Hamilton County?
You know, on any given day, we have about 2,000 children in foster care. So, and each year we have about 200 children, you know, emancipating, leaving the system. So we really would love to see that number. We'd love to see no child emancipate without a permanent home or a permanent situation. But we would love to be able to say to the 200 youth that we emancipate each year, you have, you know, we've hopefully prepared you. We've given you all the tools that you need to help you go forth and be successful and have options. And if you're tied to a mentor through HEMI, what we have found through the mentoring program through HEMI is these folks, they come on thinking they're going to be there for an educational. I mean, that's what they sign up for. But they become so vested in these youth, and they love them, and they want to be with them, and they want to help them be successful. So they maintain relationships far beyond what we ask them for, which is a huge commitment, right, Mame?
It's six. Yes.
You know, we're asking for 6 years when you sign up to be a mentor, and we know that that extends beyond that, and they do far more than just educational.
Yeah, they actually, we kind of say, if you didn't get that forever family, maybe you get a forever adult support. You know?
Forever mentor.
Forever mentor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moira, how much of the need for foster care, how much of this is tied to the opioid epidemic that we're seeing in this area?
So, I mean, obviously, I think the opiates are playing a big part of the child welfare system. And we always say that, you know, initially those were the silent victims, and we kind of just forgot about the children. I would say these youth right now in HEMI have been in, you know, sadly, have been in foster care for longer. So they may or may not have really been touched by opiates per se, but they would have been touched by violence, domestic violence, you know, drug and alcohol, something like that. But, so these youth that we typically pair up with a HEMI mentor are kids that have been in care, sadly, longer than 2 years. You know, they're older, and we're really trying to help prepare them. And we were trying to have conversations with them that any parent would have with their child. Obviously sooner than we're doing it about, you know, what would you like to do when you graduate from high school? Would you like to go to college? What would you like? Would you like to learn a trade? What kind of things we can do? And giving them the confidence that they can do those things. So many of our kids, no one's really told them that they could do those activities, that, you know, college is a possibility. Going to a trade school and getting a trade is a possibility. Employment is a possibility. Maybe you can go to college in a couple years after you get your feet kind of grounded. So we really want to open up those conversations and let the foster youth have some confidence and support that that's a possibility for them out in the community.
Yeah, how attainable is college for these kids who are entering emancipation?
I mean, it's attainable when they get hooked up, and Raymond can talk about it. I mean, the mentors really walk them through the application process and take them on college visits.
Yeah, we go on college visits, but we start the conversation because we may be the first ones that's really talked to them that this is an option in their life. So it's very important that we lay the foundation that things are possible, but we want to make sure it's appropriate and you can be successful. It's not uncommon that a lot of our foster youth sometimes are academically underprepared because of just the sheer situation of being in the system and not having adults looking at their report cards and helping them. And also sometimes they have to be moved around. And so they don't even know it applies to them that this is an option. So we start having those conversations of what do you want to do with your life? And then we do different assessments and help them look at their strengths and aptitudes and then try to align and get a realistic picture of what pathway might be best for them. So even though our name says Higher Education Mentoring Initiative, not everyone's going to go to higher ed. We kind of think it's higher expectation mentoring initiative for all of our kids because, you know, that young lady that's at elite welding school is going to walk out making $75,000 a year without all that college debt in 4 years and a lot younger. So we're looking at what pathway works for them and what their needs are and what their desires are.
I would say one of the true, and then the other outcomes that we really wanted to achieve is we really wanted educational stability for all foster youth, but particularly when we think about young adults. And so what HEMI does is, I mean, we know actually from this report that when you compare HEMI graduates, 88.1% are graduating from high school. When you compare that to the general foster care population, that was 71.8%. And then if you compare that to the general population, it's 90.9%. We're actually almost hitting the 90.9%, which we're really proud of our youth for doing. So that's important because graduating from high school is the first step to, you know, thinking about higher education or learning a trade. We also know that our HEMI youth, when we compare them to national and local statistics in terms of their employment, 70.6% of the HEMI youth were employed, and we compared that to the national general population, which is 65.9%. So our HEMI youth are actually employed at a higher rate. And when you compare that to actually the national when you look at foster youth nationally, they're at 46.7%. So I feel like we're seeing some really pretty remarkable outcomes when we really put a focused effort on this relationship and supporting these youth.
Has anybody ever studied how many of these kids who are entering emancipation, how many of them want to go to college and how many of them are actually able to go to college?
So, you know, there's been several studies across the country, and I don't think they've really ever been able to say with certainty. I think generally speaking, we knew that 3% of the foster care population would go on to some form of higher education, which is very low compared to the national average.
But probably a lot more than that would like to have gone on.
Yes. Yeah. And what we're hearing from our kids is that no one ever talked to me about this. No one ever told me this was a possibility. So to have that possibility and that confidence, it's a life-changing event for them.
One of the things, for instance, I just left Mount St. Joe right before the show, and today we were hosting every year, every summer, we host an educational and career summit for all Hamilton County foster youth ages 14 to 21. And because the message has got to get out there, because we don't have every 14 to 21-year-old in Hemi, but we try to host these different events to message for all of them so that they know this is an option. We had a great keynote today that spoke. We had a panel of our own scholars that because now some of those that started with us in 2009 actually are professionals now. They, you know, got their degree. In fact, one of them was a Mount St. Joe alum, so she was there. She got her degree in communications and has been working in the nonprofit world, and she has just entered a master's program there on organizational leadership. So she actually told me today, she said, "I'm going to get that because I want to do what you do."
It has to be very satisfying, Raina, yeah, to see that kind of success.
Yes. Well, we've had several that have gotten degrees in social work and have gone to work for Moira at JFS as caseworkers.
513-419-7100. Mike in Clifton joins us now. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to chime in a couple things. I aged out of the system. This is a number of years back. This is like 98, but there wasn't really any kind of mentor or support thing. And I remember college is free to everyone that comes out. There's a thing on the FAFSA. Says, were you a ward of the court until the age of 18? And if you mark yes on that box, you don't have to fill out any more financial information. You pretty much get a free, like, full ride to, like, public universities. But interestingly, I got into, like, an elite grad school, and I remember them telling me, because I didn't really have the grades to get in, but they told me it was statistically easier to make it to the major leagues than it was for a person in my position to get a college degree. It was, like, 50% of those kids get a high school degree, and of the 50%, I think it was like 3 or 4% go to college, and then of that 3 or 4%, I think it was like 1 point something actually get a degree. So I just wanted to chime in.
A lot of obstacles. Thank you, Mike. We really appreciate the call. It sounds like there are a lot of challenges.
There are. I mean, and that congratulations to you that you were able to do all that. I mean, one of the challenges that we find today with our youth is not only just the process of affording or thinking through an application, but then where am I going to live if they don't have housing available? When breaks occur, you know, if there are holidays, where am I going to stay? Because many of the universities don't always open their dorms up during the holidays. We're seeing that's changing across the country, and we're grateful for that. But many of our youth are challenged with, you know, where am I going to live for the 2 weeks that they're closed in December and January? Where am I going to do around Thanksgiving break? What am I going to do in the summer? You know, so we're really, and they have to think about how to pay rent in the summer. And so there's lots of living expenses that aren't always covered. And Raina could probably speak better to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And oftentimes they are parents themselves. And so we work very hard. We've developed a fundraiser every year to raise money because I remind people they do not have parents writing checks for them, because you might, through FAFSA, be able to get your tuition paid for and books and fees. But it to live costs a lot of money, and particularly mm-hmm. in a university town, rent tends to be a little bit higher. And so we raise money and start college funds for all of our youth that apply, and they can use that money towards their rent if that, because they have to have applied for FAFSA, and then there's another thing called ETV, Educational Training Vouchers, which is a federal program designated just for foster youth. But even with FAFSA and ETV, it's still, there's gaps. So the HEMI scholarship is fills the gap for many of our youth. We actually have a variety of scholarship categories. One is the Moyer Weir Scholarship Fund, and that one's reserved for the ones that are already enrolled in post-secondary higher ed and making progress. So we have one for re-engagement youth. So we have different options.
What are you looking for in a mentor? How do you recruit mentors?
Well, we do op-ed pieces. We've found that our best recruitment tool are friends of friends that have done the work. And oftentimes what I hear is someone that expressed interest because, one, they were shocked when they read an op-ed piece about the challenges for these youth, that they don't really have someone helping them do this because after they leave the system, it's not really there for them. So oftentimes the volunteers have already been through this process with their own kids and have some time and knowledge how to do it and how to get them through it. So they say, hey, I can do this. And what happens is it becomes a lot more than what they thought it was going to be, which is a good thing. And I think that around the Hamilton County area, we have some really informed folks about the plight and the challenges of foster youth because there's several initiatives that have come out of JFS, and we're just talking about it a lot more. And the pieces in the paper, this opportunity today to talk about this population of youth that definitely needs the support. And given a little bit of support, it's unbelievable what they can do.
Yeah, if somebody wants to become a mentor, how do they do that, Raymond?
Well, they just call HEMI. Okay. They're at the university. They can call me at 556-3216. And we have constant recruitment. We learned over the ages that the one annual meet and greet didn't work out for us so well. So, because kids need adults all along the way. So, as youth are identified by the caseworker, JFS makes the referral. And we're constantly, just last Tuesday night, a week ago Tuesday, we did another mentor orientation. About every 90 days, we host those and then have a training, ongoing training to support them.
How effective has this program been, Warren, and how does the mentoring program cost compared to the cost of somebody who doesn't go through the mentoring program? How much does it actually reduce that?
Well, I mean, based on what the report says, we're saving, you know, a significant amount of money. But I always try to look at it even more than that. I mean, we're really engaging youth in a manner in which they've never been engaged before, and we're giving them hope. And what we know about HEMI, it's another positive intervention that can really, if you hit something early and have some prevention to it, you're really hopefully, you know, deterring what might come later on in life. So, you know, I think that the relationship that gets established through the HEMI mentoring program is, it's monumental for these children, these youth, and it really gives them hope, and it gives them, they feel positive, they feel good about themselves. They're getting positive feedback. They're graduating from high school. I mean, they're beating the national odds. Mm-hmm. And they can stand up in front of a room and said, I beat the national odds, and guess what? I'm going to go to college, or maybe I'm going to go work for a little bit and come back. And we know that every child, whether you are in foster care or not, may have starts and stops, and we expect that. And what's wonderful about the mentors with HEMI is that those mentors are always there. So if a child decides to kind of take a break, that person's going to still be there.
What are the participants, the young adults who are going through this program, what are they saying about it? What are they telling you?
Oh, They are really embracing it. Not all in the beginning, because sometimes they don't want another adult in their life initially. But sometimes we'll start the process with just a tutor. We realize that you're failing your algebra class. Let's get a tutor. And so just when they see that this person's genuine and helping and there, and that the staff at HEMI are available, our staff have cell phones on 24/7. We've had lots of crisis in the middle of the night to be able to help them talk through things. I heard about one today at the Educational Summit that someone got a text at 4 o'clock this morning, one of the program specialists. And, you know, so I think that they know that we're there, and that gives them a lot of support, some mental support, and for what they want to do. But they really have embraced it. I am so proud of them. I've seen the shift happen from when we started in 2009. It was like we were trying to kind of sell the program to them, like, please let some more adults in your life to tell you, to help you. And there was a little bit of resistance to that with some. And now it's they're embracing their past. They're embracing, they want T-shirts that say HEMI. They want to be identified that they've beat the odds, just went to the Celebration of Dreams. And a lot of the kids said, I'm part of the 40% that graduated. And there's pride.
Yeah, and take a lot of pride in that, can't they?
Right. And they know that I often tell them, you're very, you know, courageous to want to do this and beat the odds. And so I think it's a very, they're resilient and they're embracing it.
Let's talk to Susie in Sims Township. Hi, Susie.
Hi there. Hey, Rayma.
Hi.
It's Susie Marcus.
Oh, Susie. Susie's a HEMI mentor. She's been around from our very first cohort.
And I just wanted to say everything these women are saying is true. The program's not as easy as it sounds initially because there's a trust between the mentor and the mentee. The mentee has every reason not to trust because there's not been a lot of stability in their lives. But my mentee, Robert, he is now 26 years old. We have been together since he was 17. He is finally going to cosmetology school. He is going to be a major. In the end, he's also a foster father.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
And that's what you like to see
and,
out of
and
this.
And it's the Susie Marcuses of the world is why HEMI
right.
exists.
If
they don't step forward, our capacity to take, you know, support 100, 200 youth, we don't have it. So we don't exist without the Susies in the world.
And Susie, thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. And Moira, just final 30 seconds, where do you want to see this program head in the future?
Well, I would like to offer to every child that we have that comes into foster care. I mean, honestly, you know, really, we start, if you have your own children, you start talking to them very early on as a young age about, you know, college or what do you think you want to be when you grow up or what would you like to do? And I would love to be able to have this with any child that enters foster care. And even if they go back home, which we want all of our kids to do, you know, we really try hard to get children back home, that the HEMI mentor could follow them there and support them. Because it's always, I think, helpful to have somebody else in your corner rooting for you, helping you kind of navigate, which can be something that's a very complicated system.
Moira and Rayma, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Director of Hamilton County Job and Family Services, Moira Ware, and Director of the Higher Education Mentoring Initiative at the University of Cincinnati, Rayma Waters. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next on 91.7 WVXU.
It's officially summer, and we are already experiencing our typical summer weather pattern of hot, humid days and frequent heavy rainstorms, which can dampen almost anyone's enthusiasm to be outside working in the garden. But June is the time to plant corn, carrots, and many other vegetables. And it's National Perennial Month. On the next Cincinnati Edition, our horticulture experts join us to answer your gardening questions. Join us for Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.